This is firefighter Raphael Porriette for Firehouse Subs. Introducing new Firehouse Pairs. Pair your favorite small sub with a signature side, like the awesome 5-Cheese Mac and Cheese. And remember, a portion of every purchase at Firehouse Subs goes towards helping first responders. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations only. Firehouse Subs would donate a minimum of $1 million in 2019 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.11% of every purchase.
Welcome to the Sheridan Report, brought to you by MyBookie.ag. To find out more about MyBookie.ag and to get a special promo code, you can go to MyBookie.ag, put in TGT100, which will give you 100% cash back up to $300 on your first deposit. So if you put in $300, you'll have $600 to play with. Also, you can just go to the MyBookie.ag banner on thegrillingtruth.com. Click that. That'll take you there and give you the bonus also. I am your co-host for the Sheridan Report, Mike Goodpaster. And like right now, I would like to welcome in my co-host from the Sheridan Report, Bobby Sheridan. How you doing, Bobby?
Mike, I'm doing great this morning. I'm really enjoying listening to your guys' draft shows that you've been having this week and coming up to your live draft show. And it's been really fun for me to listen because I don't do any studying of that stuff. But you guys obviously do. And I know where I'll be, you know, listening in the background tomorrow night. You know, when I'm watching the games and doing the work, you know, I know I'll be listening to you guys. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, and if anybody wants to hear us, you can go to thegrillingtruth.com at 8 o'clock tomorrow night to hear our live draft show. You can also download our app off of iTunes, which will give you the live show. Xeno Live Radio, I think, is now carrying it also. And then, of course, you can follow along with anything we're doing on Twitter, which can take you to the live draft show also. Bobby, Major League Baseball, what do we got today? Because I know we got some games starting shortly.
Yeah, we do, Mike. We already had a couple start, and now I added a game. It was on Twitter, and I added it. It was the Royals today, which that's over Blake Snell. That was plus $2, plus $200. Took a shot with to go against him. We got the early lead 2-1. I was rolling the dice that we could get the lead through six, get him out of there, and have this thing either tied or with the lead going into the bullpen and maybe just outpitch their bullpen where it's more of a 50-50 game. So far, so good. We got a 2-1 lead. The basic premise on that was, you know, Blake Snell's been out 11 days. He broke a toe, like a little small toe or something. He dropped something on his foot. And he's been out 10 or 11 days, and I thought, you know, this is a shot here where we can maybe get score a couple runs early, and we're up 2-1. So hopefully we can hang on to that one. And then we have our top play, which is already started. That's the Milwaukee Brewers. They have an early 1-0 lead over the Cardinals in the bottom of the third. So that's how we got started. But we still have – this is a good day. We still have a couple nice plays in our three teams parlay where we can mix and match and such. We hit 2 out of 3 again yesterday. But, you know, if you mix and match and you tie something nice to them, you can still hit and win with those plays. And I was able to do that myself. So let's go over those first, those three mix and matches, I call them. And stick them together in a parlay and do something with them, hooked with anything else you like. And those are the Rockies. That's coming up at noon. And the Padres also in the 12 o'clock hour, so 12:40. So 3 o'clock hour Eastern, 12 Pacific, the Rockies and the Padres. Both, I think, with really strong chances at home today. And then the Pirates, Mike, are a team, are a game tonight that I like as well. And that has that pitching matchup is Merrill Kelly with the Diamondbacks, the Pirates' Jordan Lyles. And both pitchers just recently faced the Chicago Cubs with very, very, very different outcomes. Kelly walked 7 and gave up 6-7 hits at a very, very bad outing. And Jordan Lyles dominated them. So sometimes, you know, I mean, you ask the Cubs who they thought was a better pitcher and who handled their lineup a little better. I mean, Jordan Lyles, everyone to a man would say that. Well, these two are facing each other today, and the Pirates have lost the first 2 of 4. So they're down 0-2 in this series. They blew game 1. Game two, they got beat 2-1, tough loss. And now they've got to win this game. They're facing Zach Greinke tomorrow. So I think this is a nice play on Pittsburgh, and I'm going to try to use some parlays with them. They're minus 117. Now, okay, we go to our straights today, and we have a couple of opinions here. You got first straight, let's go to Baltimore, where they're hosting the White Sox, and we like the White Sox. It's not often you'll find Baltimore in a favorite position, and I think what's happening here is, you know, they're coming off a 9-1 win, and they are swinging the bats pretty well, but they're going to use more of an opener today. This guy, John Means, left-hander, has thrown, this is his seventh appearance of the year. He's thrown about 15 or 16 innings, and five of them were in one start. It's not a total opener, but he's had other starts that have been 2-1 and 2 2/3, so we'll see how it goes. He's got good numbers. And he's going up against Irvin Santana, the veteran, 37-year-old guy now, pitched a long time for the Angels, and then he's bounced. He went to Minnesota for a few years, the Royals. Well, this is a guy that has pitched for $20 million. 17-game winner, 15-game winner, you know. He's had a long, good career, but he's pitching for $4 million right now, Mike. He's coming off surgery at 37. And those guys, they're not doing this just to do it. You know, he still has a passion and a will to win a ball game. And this will be his third outing of the year. And oftentimes that third outing is where it clicks. And he's coming off of a pretty decent second outing, better than looked. So I'm going to give a little nod to Irvin Santana, the veteran, who will outpitch the younger John Means and the Baltimore Orioles bullpen. And the White Sox offense is very capable. So let's take plus 110 with the White Sox over Baltimore today. That's a 405 Pacific start. And then the last game, Mike, I think you'll like this one because I know you're a big Reds fan. I've got the Reds today, and they're hosting the Atlanta Braves. And this is a situation where I think the Braves, you know, Tanner Roark has done a good job. He's been a below-the-radar pitcher for the Nationals, and the Reds picked him up this year, and he's done a good job. His last two starts, over 12 innings, he's only given up two runs. So he's pitched well, and those are against good ball clubs. I don't have it in front of me, but I will pull it up.
Yeah, I think it was against, was it the Dodgers and Padres?
The Padres and the Cardinals.
Okay.
Padres and the Cardinals, actually. He missed the Dodgers series. He's only given, and that, those are two pretty good offenses. And now he's going up against a guy named Mike Soroka, who he's coming off of a good outing, but number one, it was his lone outing of the year. He pitched April 18th against Arizona at home, five innings, one run, six strikeouts. Okay, but that's his only outing. That's number one. Number two, let's see if he can duplicate that on the road. You know, this is a guy that hasn't had a lot of outings at all in the last couple of years. He's had arm injuries that he's coming off of. So I think we can win this game too, Mike, at a sneaky price. The Reds are a home dog, and we can get them now, plus 113. So I really like the card today. And there's your Major League Baseball.
All right, Bobby, what about the NBA?
Oh, well, the NBA, you know, I'm excited to talk about this because this one's going to – my top play is going to fool you. All right, let's go to the second play, which starts in the later game. It's a late start. You're on the East Coast, and you want to watch some baseball and basketball tonight until 1 in the morning. You got it. Clippers will play the Warriors, and this is game five, and you know, of course, likely the last game before the series. The second-round series starts for the Warriors, but – these pesky Clippers, they're not going to go down without a fight tonight. The Warriors are going to have to play, and they know they're going to have to play. This is not a situation where I think they'll completely let down. But if the Warriors have had any kind of bugaboo this year, it has been at home. It has been covering double-digit spreads, and that's continued in the playoffs. You know, I mean, the Clippers got them there, you know, in game two with the big comeback in the win. So, you know, here we go, game five, after the Warriors go there and sweep the Clippers. But game four, we once again had the Clippers, and they covered. They only lost by 8 points. They were getting 9.5. So these Clippers have played, you know, two solid games. I think they'll make it 3 out of 5 today and be able to hang under this number. So I like the Clippers, but not a top play. Top play, Mike, this is what's going to fool you, and you and I haven't even talked about this. We're going to flip here. And let me explain to you why. This is the Jazz and Rockets. And this series, I think, has started again, Mike. That doesn't mean I think that the Jazz will go down there and win tonight, although they can. But what I mean is we have new life here and new blood put into this series. The Jazz came through in game four in the fourth quarter. That wasn't a big lead. They opened up and held on for their life. This was a game that was in the balance. They actually lost their early lead and were down four late in the third. And they came through in the fourth. All right, that's good for confidence, number one. Number two, they found a couple players. O'Neal, I think it's his name, Cephalosha. How about Ricky Rubio playing his best game of the series to go along with their guys that they need to show up every night, Favors, and, of course, Mitchell, their star, and Ingles, Gobert. Okay, this is a team now that's actually deeper than Houston. Houston's getting production from seven guys, but, you know, Austin Rivers, Gerald Green, a little skeptical. Clint Capella has coming off a virus issue where he was non-existent in game four. So I think here now, let's also look at the facts. When the Jazz went to Houston in the first two games, I re-looked up the lines just to get my bearings. The Rockets were favored, went off 6.5 in both games. And they both were home, comfortable wins, and we had them. Okay, we had them game three. All right, laid off game four. Now here we go, game five, changing landscapes. The line tonight's 8.5. Well, which game do you think the Jazz are more ready to win? Games one and two, where they were, obviously their confidence was shaken. They didn't have a great plan. They did not play well in either game there, or game five tonight, coming off of just now that fourth quarter romp where they beat them big in the fourth quarter, regained confidence, found a couple players they haven't had all series. This game's going down to the wire tonight. So you've got to buy the Jazz on the money line, and you've got to make a nice size wager on the 8.5. I love the Jazz tonight, Mike.
All right, Bobby. NHL wise, we got a game seven tonight between the Carolina Hurricanes and, you know, the defending Stanley Cup champions, the Washington Capitals. Number one, did you see that game at the end of that game last night, Bobby? San Jose and Vegas? I'll tell you, I may start watching the NHL playoffs because I was not watching the game because it was 3-0. I figured it's over, and I get on Facebook, and I'm scrolling down, and all these people are, you know, wow, what a game, what a game. And I flip it on, and all of a sudden, Vegas is down 4-3, and they tie it in the last minute, then they lose it in the last 10 minutes of overtime. It was an outstanding game, and I think that's why it shows you why people always talk about how great a Game 7 of playoff hockey is.
Wow, that's amazing. And this will be a Game 7 too tonight. Is that correct?
Yeah, and I am not going to bet this, but I just have a weird feeling the Hurricanes are going to win the game. They're plus 145. Everything common sense tells me Washington. So I'm going to stay off of it, even though I lack common sense. At least that's what my wife told me. So with that being said, I would stay away from it. But at plus 145, I would be really tempted to just take a shot with the Hurricanes here because I know they've had some injury problems and everything, but they're definitely the hungrier team. I think the home team has won every game in this series, though, so the Capitals are the smart play, but it it still would not surprise me.
Why don't we do this? Why don't we try to find some value then with the Hurricanes, and let's take them with the money line plus 145, and let's see if we can hook them up with the Jazz at plus the 8.5, okay, and the Clippers at the plus 14.5 will make it a hockey NBA three-teamer.
I'll tell you what, just bet all three to win straight. You could be a millionaire after tonight. Let's see.
All right. Well, you know, last night, you know, it's crazy. I really wasn't on either game, but you've got big comebacks in both of those final games last night. And that was amazing, and that's what the playoffs are about. You know, you've got – that was looking like Thunder, right? It was looking like Thunder Knights, and it turns out to be Trailblazers Sharks. And even though the Trailblazers did not cover, they were favored 3.5, 4.5. They got the money, but the Thunder did cover, but straight up, you know, did comebacks. And, you know, I think we're just getting going. These playoffs are really, really getting exciting now.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, the thing that stands out to me is I think Denver's probably going to get game six against – or San Antonio's going to get game six against Denver. Right now, you could bet that series at like a plus 375 for the Spurs.
You know, Mike, great point. Wow, that's good. Well, you know, they're only favored – I did notice this, and this is my –
by
I was
two
doing my pre-
tomorrow season. Night, yeah.
Yeah, by two. And so that line has dipped. That, you know, Denver now – is being ranked, you know, more highly in this series by the Vegas odds makers, and they're adjusting to what they're watching, and they're adjusting to the betting public. So you're getting better value now in San Antonio. Now you have the bettor has to weigh, okay, is it? Do I still like the Spurs to win this? And if you're Mike Goodpaster, you like it, you bet it now. You win the close one, game six, where it's only a 2-point spread, and now you get into game seven at plus 375. And last night on the money line in Denver, they were only plus 195. So you're going to get $2 more for your money.
Yeah, and the question is this. If I was just going to bet a small amount of money, like $50 on the money line or with the points tomorrow night, take Denver or San Antonio, and then at the same time just throw $50 on the series at the 4-1 odds, would that make sense?
Yeah.
Because I think they're going to win game six, and if they do – I'm going to at least break even, but I could win 4-1 odds here in game seven.
I love that. And what I like to do is better than break even. If you like him in game six tomorrow,
bet a little bit more and then bet a little bit less on the series. Yeah.
Well, keep your 50. That's fine. And put 100 on game six. Now, if you lose game six, okay, the series is over. You just move on. Yeah, but if you hit that game with San Antonio, you now got 100 in the bank. Your live bet is 50 going, and you have a really nice wager on game seven. So, if you like San Antonio, that would be a good way to play it.
Yeah. All right. Let's go ahead and let's go to on this day, Bobby.
Sounds good, Mike. On this day, you know, there's a few on here I really like. The one that I think is really relevant to what we're doing this week and on your sports network is the 2004 NFL draft was held on this day, the first round. Ole Miss quarterback Eli Manning was the first pick by the Chargers. Explain.
I think when you look at this trade where Eli Manning didn't want to go there and he ended up getting traded to the Giants, I think the most interesting thing would be how would these teams' fates have been different if there would have been no trade? The Giants, would they have still won two Super Bowls? Because the other thing people forget is if they don't make that trade to Giants, they would have had Ben Roethlisberger. And I think it's, you know, fairly safe to say Big Ben probably could have won them too. If they would have had Phillip Rivers, they probably could have still won two. But in the end, was this a bettor trade for the Giants or the Chargers? And the reason I bring this up is there is a San Diego or a Los Angeles Charger website. It's called like Bolts from the Blue or something that tried to claim that the Chargers still got the bettor of the deal. And the deal was this: Eli Manning for Phillip Rivers, Nate Kading, who was the place kicker for the Chargers. He was a third-round pick in 04. They got the 05 first-round pick, which is Sean Merriman, who ended up being a really good player. 2005 fifth-round pick, they traded to Tampa Bay for Roman Oden. So they got Roman Oden, they got Sean Merriman, Nate Kading, and Phillip Rivers. So the question is, the Giants surrendered a lot here in terms of talent. And thinking back, they probably would have been perfectly content to do it again and select Ben Roethlisberger. Did the Giants make the right move? How would this have changed things? Now, I think this. I think when you look at it, I think if they would have picked Ben Roethlisberger, the way Roethlisberger plays quarterback is he's not afraid to make mistakes, which leads him to making mistakes. And you don't beat the New England Patriots twice with a quarterback that makes mistakes. The other thing is Phillip Rivers, and I think that when you look at it, Rivers and Roethlisberger have probably had the bettor careers than Eli Manning, but I don't know that they could have went into two Super Bowls against the New England Patriots and won the game. Eli Manning was a different breed with the way he played the game, and, you know, he was kind of calm, cool, and collected, and that's not something you can say about Roethlisberger or Rivers. So when you look at it in the end, I think the Giants obviously made the right deal. And, you know, maybe he's not even done at this point. Maybe he gets another shot at one. I doubt it, but if they draft well, you never know. But
yeah,
I think it's hard, even if you're a Charger site, to claim that you won the trade when Eli Manning has won two Super Bowls and Phillip Rivers has none, not even been to one.
Right. It is hard, but I can see where they're trying there. But this was maybe a good trade for both teams. You know, I think Sean Merriman gave them a lot of good years. How did his thing end, Mike? Was he get hurt or did he have a, something
coming
about in
10
my...
years. He was a really good player.
Okay.
So when you look at it.
And Rivers has done a good job, you know, and he replaced.
Yeah,
you know,
he's been a hell of a quarterback. But you,
yeah.
You know, I think he's got like a 3-5 playoff record. And the other thing is this, for the Chargers, the bigger question is, were they smart to trade away Drew Brees and keep Phillip Rivers as their quarterback?
Well, that's been talked about as well. And I think they probably were, but I don't know. I mean, who could have ever picked Brees to go on and do what he did with New Orleans? I mean, that would have been a hard pick.
Yeah, but Brees had played well for the Chargers for the year he was the starter, and then they moved him out, gave Rivers the job. And then the thing that I do know is this. The guys they gave up, Manning and Brees, both have Super Bowl championships. Rivers doesn't.
Yeah. So. And, you know, it was neat to watch Rivers last year. He still has that fire. He still wants one, and he's still playing at a high level. So he could still get one before it's all done. And
as long as Bill Belichick and Tom Brady retire, he could. until that happens, though, you know, I don't know.
You know, I listen to you say that, and you always say it, and I get mad at you every time because you're always right, but darn it. I mean, something's got to happen. We get those guys out of there. Jesus.
I like them.
I just, you know. I know. Oh, you do.
They're like the best that's ever done it. Why do you want to stop watching the best that ever done it?
I don't know. They just bother me. Not the cheating and all that. I love all that.
You love all the cheating. You just can't stand the other stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I guess I'm weird, but. They taught me the biggest lesson I've ever learned in gambling, though. When they were favored in that Super Bowl, when they lost, actually, when they had their best team, the undefeated team. They were favored over the Giants something like 10 or 11 or 12 points or something like that. And they were on the money line, let's just say 5-1, something like that. And I made a big wager on them. I got caught up in the not the emotion, but the thought process that they're not losing. This will be the greatest team of all time. They're going to go undefeated. The Giants cannot beat them. Yada, yada. Not being a good football guy. I wish I knew you at the time.
I picked the Giants in that Super Bowl, too. You can ask anybody that knows me.
No, I know that now. I know that now, yes. And stupid me, I learned a lesson that you cannot buy money, meaning nothing is a cinch. Money line.
It's kind of like that guy that bet $1 million on Mike Tyson against Buster Douglas because it was 42-1.
Yeah, and he just thinks, okay, I'll bet $1 million and I'll make $30,000 or whatever that million.
There's no such thing as free money.
Exactly, and I tried to, in a way, get free money and, you know, put like, you know, 20 grand to make four or something like that. It was just a stupid bet, and it taught me a big lesson. And, you know, it's helped me now because I've saved so much money now not making that mistake and actually betting against it. And, you know, I've got that money back. But, you know, bottom line is that I learned a lesson for my life. So it's all good, Mike.
All right. I know Nolan Ryan had – what was his on this day?
Oh, it was a great Nolan Ryan. It was 1978 on this day. He struck out 15 Seattle Mariners. And what made that a mark was that was the 20th time he had done that.
How many times did he end up doing that for his career?
I don't know, but I want to say 33, 36, something like that.
How about this? I'm going to give you a trivia question. You're a baseball guy. If you answer this,
all right,
you'll be the smartest baseball person I've ever known. Who was the first player to strike out 18 batters in a single game?
Ooh, first player to do that? Wow. Nothing's really coming to my head. I don't know, Mike.
I got somebody calling in to answer the question, I think.
Yeah.
The first one to ever do it was Charlie Sweeney. You remember Charlie Sweeney of the Providence Greggs, don't you?
I don't. Tell me
in
about
1884, he struck out 18 batters. Now, in spite of that, he's still not viewed as the first one to ever do it because they view the first person to ever do it in the 20th century as the first person to ever do it. Who was the first person in the 20th century?
I don't know. That's the one I was thinking of. So who is?
Bob Feller.
Bob Feller. Okay.
Remember, he had the first 100-mile-an-hour fastball, and didn't they figure out how fast it was going, like having throw the ball while a motorcycle was going 100 miles an hour or something?
Yeah, it was. And I met him at a baseball signing show, you know, back – we've talked about this, Mike. Back in when we were kids, baseball cards were blowing up. It blew up. You know, it was just – that was its biggest. That was a height. And so I was going to some of these card shows as a kid. And he was signing. He was one of the big signers. Pete Rose was one of them. And there was a lot of guys that were making a lot of money at the time, Mickey Mantle. And I met him as a young kid, not young, but probably 14 or 12 or something. And I remember him being a little arrogant, not nearly as personable as the other guys that were signing. And there was a gentleman that asked him about his fastball, and he was very arrogant and said, you know, that he had the best fastball there ever was, and better than Ryan's or better than anybody's. And he, you know, I guess he did. he was the first guy to really throw 100, right? I think.
Well, that's the first guy that they know did. The other thing about Ryan is this is a dude that threw 7 no hitters, but did you know he also had 12 one hitters?
I did know that, and that's just an unbelievable, amazing stat. You know, 12 one hitters.
Yeah, and I remember
60 pitches.
I remember watching him on Monday Night Baseball. I think it was in 1979. He was pitching for the Angels. I think it was against the Yankees, but he had a no hitter on Monday Night Baseball with 2 outs in the 9th and gave up a hit there. You remember that game? I remember watching that game because I was all excited because we never got to see American League games unless it was Monday Night Baseball or the game of the week.
Well, I got one for you, you know, and because I don't want to fall into the trap of being, you know, the guy who lets everybody off the hook just because you like them. And this was from your discussion with Jeremiah on the boxing show that we've also ran into some other ways this week. And this is the steroids issue. I remember in 89, 90, 91, 92, 93, that, you know, those years, Nolan Ryan, like, how is he doing this at 39, 40, 41, 42, 43 years old? Steroids were not a part of my world at that time. I don't think the mainstream sports world, definitely not. We didn't think in baseball. But look who his teammates were on those teams, Mike.
Oh, Palmeiro, yeah.
Rafael Palmeiro, Jose Canseco, three of the most notorious users were on that team. And Nolan Ryan was much like Roger Clemens, a great work ethic in the gym, huge legs, really, really hard worker.
Yeah, but if you're going to use PEDs, you have to be a hard worker.
You have to be. So at 44, 43, 45, still throwing 95, 96, on those teams with those players, I can almost guarantee you, yet you'll never really read too much about it because he gets a pass.
Yeah, he gets a pass because he's Nolan freaking Ryan.
He's Nolan freaking Ryan, and you just don't go there. Yeah. And you know what? You know, it is what it is. But, yeah, you look back now, you didn't think it at the time. Maybe you look back now, he was, and he had to be, you know, to be doing what he was doing at those ages. Because, you know, he threw number 6 and 7 in his 40s.
Oh, yeah. What was the 7th? Was that against the Blue Jays or the A's?
The 7th, which was the last one, was against the A's, I believe.
Yeah, I know it was one of them. I think his 5,000th strikeout was against the A's, too, wasn't it? Or was that the Rangers?
I thought that was the Blue Jays because I think he got Roberto Alomar for 5,000, but I could be wrong.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
That's the time when everybody was using the steroids. And,
right.
You know.
But, it's, you know, they were using it, but it's before it really came out. It really came out after the 98 Maguire versus Sosa home run bash which saved Major League Baseball.
Yeah, and to tell you the truth, from what we've learned, I wouldn't rule out anybody that played in the 80s or 90s, anybody that possibly could have used them.
Yeah, yeah, and this is before we knew too much. And, you know, back then, 70s, early 80s, I think the prevalent, PED at that time was just the uppers, just the get these guys going. You know, it's a daily sport, a daily grind. I think they had them in jars. So you just take a couple of these and you'll get fired up for the next few hours and get energy and, feel alert. And I think you get into a trap that you start, playing on those every game. And, it's a bad cycle, but I think that was what was bad in the 70s and early 80s. And then I think we switched PEDs.
Yeah. And I mean, the biggest thing is just who else ever pitched into that age throwing the ball that hard? You know, when Tom Seaver and Steve Carlton dropped off, they dropped off the face of the earth. It was over with quickly. It never really happened
right.
with Ryan.
And Clemens, he was done at 34, with a solid career. Then all of a sudden, he's pitching another.
No, then all of a sudden, he's even pitching better than he was before 34.
Oh, yeah, better, and he was done. He was done. So, yeah, no doubt. But look how much money he made, Roger Clemens. That's the decision. These guys, guys like that are so competitive and he wants to win. But, he signed contracts worth another $180 million, I think, that he's living on right now. So
yeah.
I think it's a good decision, I guess, Cost him his Hall of Fame, though.
Yeah.
But others, it's not going to. Others are going to get by,
It's not
going to
cost Nolan.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Did you name your son after Nolan Ryan?
I sure did.
Son use steroids now?
No, but, had he not had arm trouble, there towards the end, we were looking into it, to be honest, because he wanted a chance to play professional baseball.
Oh, dude, I'll tell you what, anymore, if you want to play professional sports and you're not doing it, your chances are very limited. And that's a sad thing to say. But every sport, I imagine there's guys on the professional bowlers tour that are using this shit.
Oh yeah, and Mike, I will tell you this. Because I played minor league baseball, and maybe some people on this show don't know that I signed in 1987, and I was out by 1990. But put an asterisk next to that. Those 3 years, two of them were overcoming Tommy John injuries. So I had two Tommy John surgeries, so I didn't have much of a career. But I was talented enough to be drafted high in 1987. But I knew a lot of people. I knew a lot of people in the minor leagues around that time. And so I talked to those guys 5-8 years later, and there's guys that they were better than, 100% better than. These guys didn't get into it, guys I talked to, and they were passed up and ran by completely by guys who started using the juice.
Yeah.
So it is not just making you a little bit better and
it
a little
you
bit
a lot
more.
Better. Brady Anderson, 10 home runs to 50 home runs.
Yes, yes, yep. Gary Matthews Jr., who was a good athlete, a good player, a major leaguer, was a 270 hitter with, 10, 12 home runs. He gets on the HGH, and all of a sudden he's 330 all-star, hitting 34 bombs, robbing home runs, gets off the stuff. The Angels signed to a huge contract. He got caught, stuff being shipped to his house. He got caught. His last 3 years with on that Angel contract was horrible. He played horrible.
He did get paid, though, correct?
He got paid, and
so,
his baseball contracts are guaranteed. And, his dad, Gary Matthews Sr., was a hell of a player, slugging outfielder for the Phillies, right?
And Cubs, I think. I think he was on the Cubs in 84, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, in 84, and speaking of 84, the Cubs played the Padres in a great, we've talked about this, a great AL, or excuse me,
NLCS,
CS, right. And, the Padres won that series, and second baseman on that team, not the starter, but a utility second baseman on that team, Tim Flannery, his name's going to come up a little bit for the grueling truth, because his Love Harder project is promoting tomorrow night's draft. And I won't go into more of that, but it is just a nice segue. 1984, Tim Flannery was on that team, and that's where he met Bochy, and that's where they became, you know, good friends, you know, in their playing days. And so he goes and coaches third base for him in those World Series, and he's got three rings, you know.
Yeah.
And the guy's a complete baseball lifer, and he does a great job, and we'll learn more about his organization in the next couple of days.
Yeah, and his organization, you can check it out at the Love Harder Project, I think, .org, correct?
Yes, .org, yeah.
And it's a nonprofit organization to help people who have issues with bullying. I know there was a guy, what was his name, 2011 at a Giants game?
Yeah, I forgot his name, Mike. You said it yesterday, and I on the commercial that you made, and I forget his name, but this is the guy who took the beating at Dodger Stadium and was killed after a Giants Dodger game, just nonsensically killed. And Tim and his wife started their organization at that time.
Yeah, it is, like I said, loveharderproject.org. Make sure you check it out tomorrow night. They will be one of the, you know, one of our friends that have something to do with this NFL live draft show coming off at 8 o'clock tomorrow night. And I want to remind you, you can go to iTunes and download our Grueling Truth app through Zeno Radio, which will give you the ability to listen to it wherever you are. Or you can just log into our website, gruelingtruth.com. You can follow us on Twitter all night. And tomorrow at noon, it looks like me and Steve will be back with Anthony Servino to talk about some draft rumors. Also, we'll have Zen Bliss, who is the head football coach at Johnson Athletic College, who I think is going to be on to talk about some of the small college players that will come out that may be drafted and guys that may make an impact in the NFL coming from small colleges. And then, of course, tomorrow at 2, me and Bobby will be back. And then 8 o'clock tomorrow night, live NFL draft show. Tonight at 7, Joe Kelly, Super Bowl linebacker for the Cincinnati Bengals, will be on the Cincinnati Bengals Weekly Show to give you a draft preview show for the Bengals. And then at 11 o'clock tonight, me and Jeremiah will be back with Inside Boxing Daily. But we're going to wrap this up right now, guys. And remember, at mybookie.ag, you can go get up to 100% cashback bonus on your first $300 for your first deposit. Go to thegruelingtruth.com, click on the mybookie.ag banner at the top of the page, or go directly to mybookie.ag. Put in the promo code TGT100. All right, guys, you can hear all of our shows on Zeno Live Radio, YouTube, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Spreaker, Stitcher, wherever you find sports podcasts, you'll find the Grueling Truth. So, for Bobby Sheridan, I'm Mike Goodpaster. You've been listening to The Grueling Truth, where the legends speak.
This is firefighter Raphael Porriette for Firehouse Subs. Introducing new Firehouse Pairs. Pair your favorite small sub with a signature side like the awesome 5-Cheese Mac and Cheese. And remember, a portion of every purchase at Firehouse Subs goes towards helping first responders. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations only. Firehouse Subs will donate a minimum of $1 million in 2019 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.11% of every purchase. This is firefighter Raphael Porriette for Firehouse Subs. Introducing new Firehouse Pairs. Pair your favorite small sub with a signature side, like the awesome 5-Cheese Mac and Cheese. And remember, a portion of every purchase at Firehouse Subs goes towards helping first responders. Firehouse Subs. Enjoy more subs. Save more lives. Participating locations only. Firehouse Subs will donate a minimum of $1 million in 2019 to the Firehouse Subs Public Safety Foundation by donating 0.11% of every purchase.